Looking to get into sports betting? Well, look no further than HedgeBetter. Traditional sports is rigged anyway. Here at HedgeBetter, we're working hard to create and develop the platform that revolutionizes the future of how we as a nation view sports betting. Traditional sports betting is designed to favor books and lose you money. HedgeBetter puts the odds in your hands, cuts out the middleman, and aims to empower a future generation of sports bettors. At HedgeBetter, your bet is an asset, and we give you all the tools to maximize your profits and potential. We can't wait to come to your state soon and help you make the most of your sports betting experience. In the meantime, be sure to visit our website at www.hedgebetter.com to learn more and sign up for our mailing list. To stay up to date with all of our content, podcasts, including Steel and Naz, promotion, and events, follow us on Instagram at HedgeBetter, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and click on the link on our website to check out our blog. Everyone, it's even on Monday. Let's have a day. Episode 75, 25 more to go. Welcome to Steel and Naz, brought to you by HedgeBetter from our headquarters in Braintree, Massachusetts. Tonight, we got a special treat as high school night at the HedgeBetter Production Studios as North Quincy basketball stars Dahi Quinn and Orla Gormley got the pronunciations correct on both. Sophomore captains from North Quincy High basketball both had a great season. I had to at least reward them of coming in, kind of telling their story a little bit. If I was a 16-year-old coming in here, you know, trying to tell my story, I think I'd be a little tough too. But they did a great job for, you know, what they were working with. What'd you think, Steele?
It was unreal. It was great stuff. North Quincy, get ready. Big things.
Big things.
Quincy High might never win again.
Might never win again.
Not if they're around.
No way. Yeah. Afterwards, we'll have our Celtics playoff preview as they lock down the number 2 seed. See who they play. I guess when this comes out, you'll know who they're playing. But either Brooklyn or Cleveland. Then we'll recap the weekend's Yankees-Red Sox series as Steele's Yankees took it to the Red Sox. One took 2 out of 3. He stole the last one Sunday night. And a big recap of UFC 273 over the weekend is Gilbert Burns put on quite the show despite the loss. Mm-hmm. And Almond Sterling shocked the world. It was good to see. Let's let it rip. Orla Gormley and Dahi Quinn, great showing. Go North. That's tough.
3, 2, go.
And we're now joined by North Quincy basketball stars Dahi Quinn and Orla Gormley. How are we doing tonight? Good? Finally, after the third or fourth take, we're finally in there. I just wanted to say congratulations on a great basketball season, you know, girls and boys. Probably the best showing, at least, you know, combined records of, you know, quite some time. You think about, you know, the Anthony Green years and even back looking at Quincy High and stuff. So I just want to say congratulations on that. First question here, and unless I say your name, you're more than welcome to just dive in any question. Just how much did you enjoy this past season? And I know you guys were freshmen the year prior, but kind of being more in the captain leadership this year of being sophomores, being the top point getters. I know you're probably both team players there, but how much did you enjoy the season? What did you like the best about it?
Well, it was, like, so fun because, like, all the fans, all the kids are, like, obsessed with us. Like, yeah. They're, like, our number one fans and stuff.
Nice.
And, like, just, like, the atmosphere playing in, like, the high school with all the, like, amount of fans that come out and watch us.
Yeah, did they make, like Dahi Quinn jerseys? Were people rocking that?
Well, yeah, we have fan shirts. Yeah.
You have fan shirts?
Oh,
nice.
There we go. Nice.
Did
nice.
They sell out? I want one.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
His did.
Oh, yours did? Oh, wow. I'll get into right away. So, Orla, so you broke Doug Scott's single game point record, scored 56 points. I think he had like 53, 54, something like that. So I know it was a first round game. Just kind of tell me what was going through your head at that point, because I think you had like 20-something points in the first quarter, and I know you were probably looking more for the win in general, but when it actually got to the point, I think you had some change in the fourth quarter where they took you out, but how great was that kind of to get that with all your teammates there on your home floor?
Well, yeah, it was really fun first. Like, all the fans there were really good, but I didn't really know, like, how many points I had, like, till, like, they announced it on the last quarter, so it was just pretty fun, like, just to go in the moment and just play with all my teammates.
Nice. Did you know it was your night? Like, did you?
I kind of had a feeling before the game. Yeah, me and my coach.
So I was I was there. The Doug Scott game. I think that was like 08 or something because it was North versus Quincy. And our friend Matty Costa was a freshman point guard for North Quincy. And it was, I think it was his first. He was getting his first start, and he had to cover Doug Scott, and Doug Scott dropped like 53 on him.
Just torched him.
I think they won by 20 points. If Matt, if you're going to listen to this, sorry we brought it up for you, but
that was a cheap shot.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, I'm a Quincy High guy, so I had to take it when I could. Another question here. So you guys are only sophomores, and we've all played, you know, high school sports for the most part of us growing up. You know, stepping in as a sophomore, it can be tough to really not just have a leadership role, but, you know, when the game's on the line, you two were the ones kind of to be looked upon to, you know, score points offensively, you know, make a stop defensively. So how is it kind of having that pressure on you at such a, you know, you guys are only, what, 16 years old?
Yeah. I mean, first, like, we've been playing with our teammates since we were, like, little, so I feel like they all have trust in us to, like, just go out there and deliver when, like, we need to. So I feel like they trust us no matter what position we're in.
Yeah, and there's also just a lot of pressure on
us. Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, if you miss a shot, oh, you're terrible. Like,
yeah.
You can't do anything wrong because everyone's going to judge you or stuff.
But, like, when it comes down, because I would be I was more of a baseball whatever guy, but when it comes down to free throws at the end of the game, like, I would be terrified to, like, you know, swish down two. Do you really just, you know, take that back to, we were talking before the show, you guys play, like, 5 or 6 AAU games a weekend, and you just talk about repetition and practice of how you nail those shots?
Well, yeah, it's free throws. I love free throws. Shoot, like, last weekend, I had won, like, 14 for 15 in one game at, like, 30 points.
So. Oh.
There we go.
Light work. Light work.
I don't even think I could do that in like a video game.
Yeah, not a chance.
That's great. Dahi, you a little bit. I'm not sure which one was your favorite game of the year, but I remember in particular because they put it on QATV, so I didn't get a chance to go down to the gym at all, but I saw you guys play against Walpole, and that was a down-to-the-wire game. Just tell me a little bit what happened, because someone hit a big shot there, you know, a couple of big stops. Just tell me about that whole experience, you know, the crowd right behind you. I'm sure all the Dahi Quinn shirts, you know, sold out.
Yeah, so, at, like, halftime, our coach was like, we got to get it together. We were playing sloppy. We should have beaten by way more, but, like,
ooh.
After, like, we hit a few shots, they were, put their head down, and then I was, like, getting the crowd into it. And then I had a breakaway dunk, and then they just fell apart after that.
Oh, I forgot you
ripped their heart out. Yeah, love it. Love it.
When was your first, like, dunk? Like, ever?
It was, like, beginning of COVID. It was, like, 8th grade, March. And then, yeah, got it.
Were you, like, holy moly, like, I actually dunked? Because I would
life-changing.
I'd do, like, anything to dunk. Yeah, I'm, like, 5 foot nothing, so.
No, it was in my AU practice. My coach was like, all right, see if you can do it. And I was like... I don't think I can do it, and I got up so high, I didn't think I could do it, but I actually got up pretty high.
Now, do you only try to flush them down on breakaways, like in high school ball right now, or is it, you know, if you're coming down the lane, they better get out of the way?
Well, if you're in the way, then...
Look out. Love that.
Great stuff. So both you guys grew up in Irish households, right? So how did that, like, kind of go into your game a bit of... You know, I know I have a bunch of, like, friends who, you know, have family from Ireland and things like that, and they, like, hurling or, like, you know, playing not American football, soccer.
Yeah.
So how did, like, basketball become the big thing of, like, this is my passion? Because you guys are one-sport athletes, correct? You guys don't play anything else.
I do track.
Track, there you go. And that's to get ready for the basketball season, right? So perfect. So, yeah, whoever wants to take that question.
You want
to
do it?
You can go.
I mean... Like, I played Gaelic football when I was growing up, and all my siblings did, too, my older brother and my older sister. So my brother just started playing basketball, and then me and my sister just followed him. So that's pretty much how we got into basketball, and then I just stuck with it ever since.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Gaelic football is intense.
Yeah, that's where we get
you
our toughness.
You take the right choice.
Yeah.
So you guys are both Quincy around the area. So my favorite outdoor court to go to growing up was probably the Mount, because that was just like the best courts to play at. Is there any place in specific that where you guys like to play, or, you know, if you can't find an indoor gym, you're trying to get a couple shots up, where's the spot?
Yeah, in the summer it's usually the Mount, because it's where, like, everyone goes. Yep. Like, on a hot day, it's like probably like 60 people there, and you can get some good runs in there.
There we go. And any specific, like, what's my favorite shot on that is, like, my foot's always on the line, he'll tell you that.
Never shot a three in his
life. Yeah,
night.
But on the left side there, like, on the baseline, like, anyone, you guys, I know you had a or you had a, you like the runner.
Yeah.
That's like, tell me about that marquee move.
Well, yeah. I've been doing that ever since I was little, and always at North Quincy. Like, so yeah. I've had many practice on the hoops and the backboards there. So I just like know like how to like put it off the backboard to make it go in.
Oh wow.
There we go. She's got it down. Got the spot.
Yeah.
No, I saw it because I was watching, I think it was at the Pawtucket game, the home game. And I was just like, if I tried doing that, I'd throw a fastball off the backboard and it'd probably hit the coach in the face or something. I wouldn't plan out well.
Well, those backboards stop anything.
That's true.
I'm trying to think of the other ones. Oh, you guys played Atlantic at all? I remember those were like 9-foot rims.
Those are short.
Oh, yeah. I could like touch backboard on that, and that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
right. Me.
It's light work for these guys. Yeah.
My next, so goals and opportunities. So you guys are playing AU all summer long. Have you guys started looking like towards like the post high school like development yet? Because I'm sure, you know, that's going to be coming up sooner or later. I know it's crazy to think you guys are only sophomores. You guys are averaging 20-plus per game. And, you know, you haven't seen it in the city for this long, like for a long time. Even when they were making back, I think they were a little after me, but like Anthony Green's team. Bunch of great players, but I don't think anyone was averaging really too much close to 20 points a game leading the team like you guys have done. So I'm giving you a nice tip on the cap for there. But my question is, how is the, like, college experience? When does that start up?
I mean, for me, it started like this year, and then it'll continue usually during the summer. That's where usually the college coaches come out and watch. I picked up an offer this couple weeks ago, D1 offer. So.
Awesome. Congratulations. Nice. Give them a round of applause. Hell yeah. Let's
awesome.
Go.
That's
which one?
Siena. It's in New York.
Oh, Siena. Yeah. Oh, that's great. I'm sure that's the first of many. That's great to hear. So what do you guys have accomplished so much in such short time in the high school game. Like, what do you think you guys can improve on, and what are you guys really working towards, you know, going into next year?
Well, first of all, I want to get my dribble better, because, like, when I get, like, older, I'm not going to be, like, a big man, because, like, everyone's, like, 6'10 now, and
yeah.
Like, 12 years old, so.
Oh, yeah, focus on the point guard.
Yeah.
Know the role. Good stuff. So I talked about what I maybe thought of favorite. I went in and took your favorite moment of the season. I said Walpole. It could be a lot different. Maybe you guys can go one at a time. But what was your favorite moment of the season? Because you went 22-0. Both of you guys got Patriot League MVPs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure, you guys are team players. I'm just giving you guys that right now. But, what was your favorite part of the season?
My favorite part of the season was probably Walpole, too.
Okay.
It was a very intense game and, like, went straight down to the end. And, like, after, like, I made that dunk, I was, like, throwing my hands up, like, getting the crowd.
Love
it. After, like, the buzzer went off, everyone stormed the court. It was
nice.
Like,
Zappy zone in full effect.
Yeah.
There we go. Awesome. How about you, Ola?
For me, it was probably, like, during the regular season, we had a Women Hansen game, and we weren't supposed to win that game, so.
Yeah, they were good this year.
Yeah.
It was a good team.
We beat them, and then, obviously, our two home playoff games were big for us. Those are, like, really fun for not just me, but.
Oh, yeah, and that's great. The school made them. I saw they made them double headers, so,
yeah.
You know, you had the fans for both games.
Yeah.
It was a marathon.
Was really
wow,
good.
That must have been incredible.
Yeah.
That place must have been rocking.
Yeah. Speaking of that, like, I think you guys had two wins, and then. You guys had tough draws in the tournament seedings, and you guys both played top seeds.
Yeah.
So how does that – we talked about, you know, what you got to work on for next season. You know, Malden Catholic was a wagon, so there's no disappointment in losing that. And Norwood was a good team too, but how do you, like, kind of leaving that court? I'm sure in a little bit of disgust being like, I want to get further than here next year.
Mm-hmm.
What was your kind of thought process right now of, you know, remembering that game but taking the good stuff out of it instead of, you know, think about the loss?
I mean, it was pretty disappointing for both of us, but we just have to, well, for me at least, we have to go into more things, like, prepared and, like, be more ready for everything so we can, like, get further in the tournament.
I also think we both should have been ranked way higher than 8.
I agree.
Kind of got
In
our division, like, the 5 and 6 seed got out in the first round. I was like, why are they even...
They bought it. Come on now.
And in particular, you guys had a great season, but the girls went undefeated. And they were the 8th seed in the tournament.
Whitman Hansen was like the 5 seed.
Yeah. I couldn't, because they, when I played, I played baseball, but when I was in the tournaments, they would do the South Sectionals, and then they switched it all up now to the citywide, so I don't understand it really. I looked at it in football because I covered some high school football this last fall, and you had like a one seed, like Severian hosting a team from like Western Mass, and they would get no fans or anyone from Western Mass, and then go in there and lose by like 40 points. So like what they just drove like 6 hours.
It sucks.
It's awful.
Sounds awful.
Back to more Quincy questions. So well, I always like a good pizza, you know, subs or anywhere. If you're anywhere after school, you're going around, you're looking for, you know, a quick slice or, you know, just give me your favorite food in Quincy. Where do you like to go for a nice dish?
Go first.
Honestly, probably Balducci's.
Oh, Balducci's, good spot.
A great choice.
Buffalo calzones.
Buffalo calzones. Yeah. I'm a pizza connection's like my favorite. Buffalo chicken calzone. I'd put that up against that one any day. The chicken Caesar salad wrap. That takes the cake at Balducci's for me.
Oh, pepperoni.
Do you have
pizza.
A good one?
Probably Old Railroad for pizza.
Old Railroad, there yeah. We go. I'm like a Wollaston, West Quincy guy, so I see it all. I like food. We all like food. Still, you got anything else?
I guess going into the tournament, like when you guys were undefeated, like did you guys feel that like extra pressure?
I mean, yeah, there was definitely a lot of pressure, but still, we are still the underdog, so a lot of people didn't expect us to win. So it was a lot of pressure, but it was fun for the most part.
Oh, yeah. Undefeated underdog.
Yeah.
Wild stuff.
It's pretty crazy.
I have a good thing question. So you guys are sophomores going your junior year now. There's always, you know, middle school kids. I mean, you guys were there once before. Seventh, eighth grade kids going to go into high school, play high school basketball. What would you tell them now in your experience that you've gone through of what to expect, you know, playing high school basketball, whether it is, you know, practices 5 days a week, you're playing games, Wednesday and Friday nights, whenever they are. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just tell them, like, what would you expect out of that? And even give them the North Quincy pitch. Why would you go to North Quincy instead of, you know, going to play at a private school?
I mean, actually, you can go first.
first of all, you got to practice, like, if you want to really be good at it, you got to practice, like, at least 5 times a week.
Yeah.
And you got to play, like, all the time. Because if you just play like 2 times a week, you're not going to get any better. Because there's always someone that's doing better than you.
It's working harder, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree to that too. And then to a point of, you know, when you compare it to, because I went to a private school and then I went to a public school. I had a great experience at the private school. But, you know, when you play in front of, you know, public school fans where the same kids that are rooting for you in the stands or from the same city, you grew up with them like all basically your whole life, at least in my experience. And I just took it away of, you know, I played Quincy High hockey. And when those Quincy and North Quincy games came, those were the best because you would see everyone would be going to those games. They would know everyone who's playing. I'm sure you guys saw the whole magic this year of, you know, that's another good question too of the Quincy North, because I don't think there's, maybe that's just because we're homers, but those Quincy North games, that atmosphere is like no other.
Yeah.
It's like actually like pretty insane just like how many people come to like watch.
Oh, and
the games are like absolutely packed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you can have, like, one team can be, like, really bad and the other team can be really good and it's anyone's game.
Yeah. Got a dunk on Quincy High, of course. Naturally.
Do you guys know of, like, the legends of North Quincy? Like, the people who are up on the walls? Like, their names? Will you be up on the wall?
Hopefully.
Do you know of, like Kyle Coster and these? Do you know those?
Yeah, we know.
You know them?
Yeah.
Kyle's a coach, right? Is Kyle a coach?
Yeah, he helped.
Don't ask me. Who is the coach of North Quincy? Is it Kevin, but Mr. Barrett?
Yeah.
Oh, good guy.
That's a good guy.
Good guy.
The Paul Forbes.
Good guy. I almost played for him. I didn't make it to varsity, but.
But do they have kids come back a lot? Like does Anthony come back? I know the Gould twins coach, right?
Yeah, so they've had a few kids come back this year. Like probably like 20 kids.
Oh, that's awesome.
Just to come and watch, and they come in the locker
room. Oh, that's
talk
great.
To us and stuff.
Can you give some names?
You know, Afton Buka?
Yep. Yeah, he was good.
He, like, helps out a lot.
Oh, nice. That's great. Yeah, they had a great team back. Him and Anthony and, Jarakis, rest in peace. Yeah.
Dennis Martin around these with you guys now.
He was a good player, too.
I thought I saw that he goes to your games. Never mind.
That was around, he played around the Doug Scott days. So I think when Doug was point guard on Quincy, DeMart was it. Point guard on North. I think it was.
Are you aware of Doug Scott and the record you broke?
Yes.
Have you met him before?
Yeah, I met him.
Yeah.
What did he like? Shake your hand and say good job? He's been on this show before.
Yeah. I'm sure he wasn't salty. I'm sure he was more than happy for someone to break his record. Yeah. That's great to see. My kind of last question here, wrapping up, what do you guys fully expect for? I know it's probably still like eight, nine months away, but what do you fully expect going next season? I mean, obviously you want to do better in the playoffs, but 22-0 this season, was it 19-5? I mean, you can't beat that, can you?
Win a championship.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get them at. I wanted them to say that, not you.
Sorry.
Yeah. Championship, okay.
Yeah. Like championship at bust. Let's ride.
Exactly.
Are you guys like big basketball fans, like NBA, NCAA, all that kind of stuff? Like who's your inspirations or whatnot or favorite players?
My favorite player is Trae Young.
Trae Young?
Wow.
For me, it's Chris Paul.
Chris Paul?
Okay, good choices. Dick,
point guards. Good choice. Like it.
Trae Young, you like the shots or you think that he's just like, he's got the whole package?
He also just got like the most total assists and total points in the NBA right now.
So he's everything. He's a 10, I think he's a 9 or 10 seed though. That's going to be a tough game. We'll see how it goes.
Thoughts on the Celtics?
I think they're going to be pretty good. Right, yeah. Hopefully they're going to get the net, so.
Tough matchups. Tough matchups. Yeah. You guys got tough matchups. Now the Celtics are going to get tough matchups.
I think we'll be going more into it, but yeah, it stinks that they got the Nets. It's going to stink that they got the Nets, except you wanted that still.
Feed me them.
Yeah, we'll Celtics see. We'll see how that goes.
Not worried.
When does school end?
June 18th, I think.
Or something. Like any big plans for the summer?
Just traveling.
Just kicking it? Yeah. Traveling.
With, like, our AAU.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Where do you guys, like, range out to? Like, anywhere fun? Like
Indianapolis.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to Vegas.
Yeah. Nice.
What AAU team is this?
ASA.
I'm not going to act like, I played AAU basketball.
I was going to say, what do you want to be the?
Are the Boston Pops, are the Pops still around? I don't think so. But Bay State Magic?
BSM isn't a team anymore?
That's what they just said.
Oh, wow.
Bay State Jags.
Oh, that's a Jags now.
There's a Middlesex Magic.
Yeah.
Oh, Middlesex. Okay. Because Middlesex and Bay State were like the big teams when we were growing up.
I feel like I was probably on like an AAU team that they put together like a rich kid's dad. And like, we weren't good. We were pretty good, but.
Decent.
Yeah.
We're the highlights, dude.
They're out there.
So we'll put the verses now. So who do you think would win in like a 3-point competition?
Like for us to?
Yeah.
Him.
Oh yeah. Would it be good? Like, what do you think?
I think so. It would be close.
You're pretty humble. I like that. But get more expressive.
I bet it would be pretty close.
Close.
Yeah.
I wish we had a court outside. We do it like on the lights.
Could we make that happen? Would you guys be willing to shoot a video? Maybe like when it's a little nicer out at the mound or something.
We could.
Yeah, I could definitely.
That would be a good video.
Oh yeah.
Do you guys? Are you like the kind of players that want to? Like, do you want to play in college? She was saying she, what, any dream schools?
I'd like to go to like Syracuse or something.
Syracuse, the Orange.
Shooting big.
Mayheim.
Like that.
I like
shooting
that.
Big.
That's great.
Did you watch the NCAA tournament?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was your favorite team? Who'd you like?
I picked Gonzaga to win.
Gonzaga, and they blew it.
Yeah.
I get a little bit of Adam Morrison vibes from you with the long hair. I've never seen you play, but. Do you know who he is? Do you remember that guy? No.
He was a beast on Gonzaga.
He was a beast, and now he's a nobody, unfortunately. But.
St. Peter's, that was a great run.
I like Purdue.
Purdue was good.
Yeah.
I like my favorite guy of the tournament, who won the tournament, Remy Martin, point guard
good,
there,
yeah.
Nailed a couple threes there to propel them over North Carolina. It was cool to see North Carolina and Duke match up in the Final Four, huh, too? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the women's too. You had a good ending there of South Carolina's, you know, slowly but surely becoming the UConn.
Yeah,
and
they're
gonna
be really
UConn.
Good.
Yeah, that's cool.
I know. Yeah, that girl's a monster.
Yeah,
South Carolina.
She's from.
Jesus.
Well, she played against my sister in high school, so that was pretty cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
So, what do they have all summer long? Is it mainly you guys just are doing AAU and do the high school coaches like stay on you to or?
Yeah.
They just say go. Yeah. They let you go loose with AAU and see you next school year.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Now are you playing with like a bunch of local players, like from other schools around here, or is it like more of a, like an all Mass team or all New England team?
It's kind of like all Mass.
Yeah. All Mass? Yeah. Nice. And I'm trying to remember the names of... So you guys said like a couple acronyms. So what's the full name of the AAU teams you play for?
ASA Select.
ASA Select. So what does ASA stand for?
A Step Ahead.
A Step Ahead. Wow. That's great. And how about you, Orla?
It's Michael Carter Williams. He's in that
NBA. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's great. He's a local guy. He's a Mass.
Yeah, he's from Mass, yeah.
Oh, awesome. So a lot of traveling, a lot of basketball. Great stuff to hear. Yeah.
Where's the coolest place that's brought you guys so far, like AAU? Where have you traveled? Your favorite spot?
I went to Virginia one time.
Orlando, nice. Probably for me.
Orlando?
Yeah.
Like Disney?
We were like kind of around there. We just didn't go to like Disneyland.
Oh, okay.
Gotta go next time.
Yeah, gotta go next time. That's a must stop. Well, no, I didn't know because they have a great sports complex in there. I was always wanting to play like a baseball tournament growing up in there. It looks like a great take, but you know, playing in Florida regardless, or even just outside the neck of the woods to get out of here for a little bit is probably awesome.
He's hitting the Vegas Strip. That's gonna be good.
Yeah, that's great.
Be careful out there.
We'll end on that. Dahi and Orla, really appreciate you coming on tonight. You. And we'll be watching. Best of luck throughout the rest of the way. I'm looking forward to, you know, hopefully a couple championships coming home. I'm a Quincy guy, and I'm still rooting for North. I don't even care.
As a Raider, I'll be the super fan. What's it called? The Zappy Zone?
Oh, yeah. That was our caller of the year. Joe Zappi was our caller of the year.
I'll definitely be at some games next
year. Magic Mike and Joe Zappi.
God. Dynamic duo.
What a team.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Awesome.
2022 is here. Do you have your resolution? Here's an idea. Make your way down to Slight Edge Fitness and Performance located in Braintree, Mass. Owned and operated by Coach Craig Kelly, you can be assured you are getting the best training around. Whether looking to improve your health, or gain a slight edge on your competition, this is the gym for you. Group fitness classes as well as personalized one-on-one training are both available. Make sure to visit slightedgefit.com as well as follow them on Instagram at slightedgefitness and set up a consultation today. It's time to get fit, so let it rip.
And that was Dahi Quinn and Orla Gormley of the North Quincy basketball teams. Both catalysts, over 20 points a game on both sides there. Just impressed with, you know, like I said before the interview, you know, coming in here, a hostile environment to where, you know, they're not on mics every day and they're kind of trying to tell this story of, you know, the year itself and, you know, the performances they put up. I mean, Gormley was, I would have been a lot more like bragging about breaking Doug Scott's, you know, record, and she was just kind of like, all right, I want to break. She didn't say it, but it kind of seemed like, oh, she wants to break like her own record.
She was humble. Both very humble. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
like, I feel like definitely if we were talking to like kids that we went to school with, they were doing that, they would have been acting a lot different.
If I dunked in a game, brother, I'd break every second of the day.
Then again, you know, Anthony Green is humble too. But I feel like I remember my North Quincy basketball team as not being humble people.
Oh, for sure. You could check out my baseball team. They had a starting pitcher on there. That went to Texas A&M. I'll leave it at that. But, we'll get into the Celtics talk. As, you know, a big comeback of the season. It's good to see they really turn things around after being 23-24. They finished with a 51-31 record, good enough for the second seed in the Eastern Conference. They're going to play the winner, which unfortunately they're catch-22. They're going to play the winner of the Brooklyn Nets, Cleveland Cavaliers play-in game, which is set for Tuesday night. We're actually recording on a Monday night here in the studio. So by the time you listen to this, you probably know who we're playing. I think I already know who we're playing in the Brooklyn Nets. Still, I'll give you the first word. What do you think about, you know, the season in general, and what do you see kind of in the first round series?
It's one of the funnest. It's crazy how it became one of the worst seasons I've ever watched the Celtics in my life, and it's become one of the best, one of the funnest. I mean, this team since January 1st or whatever, it's just been electric to watch. But I think they came together, unreal defense, and I think it's their time to shine. I think they can still prove it.
They're going to have to prove a lot because as great as they've played so far, they have one of their better players out, and that's tough when you're going to go down this type of road that they're going to go down. And, you know, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown have had great seasons. We can see if they get it done in crunch time. But if you look at it, for me, I think it's more of who are they going to play. And the Brooklyn Nets here, you know, the seventh seed, the Vegas odds is the second best team to come out of the East. You have Kevin Durant, who's the baddest guy in the league when he's at the full top of his potential. I hate me some Kyrie Irving, but the guy's a hell of a player. They have a deep role players, deep team. Seventh seed you do not want to see in the first round. And then if you get by the Brooklyn Nets, then you get probably the Milwaukee Bucks, who, you know, reigning world champions. So it's a tough road for the Celtics. If they get to the Eastern Conference Finals, they're going to have to earn it, because both these teams are, like I said, the top two teams that people are predicting to like be in the Eastern Conference Finals. And for me, Celtics, it's going to be a tough road to get up there. Really happy to see how far they've come this season. Ime Udoka, no question, should be the coach of the year.
Unanimously.
Yeah, Marcus Smart, I know they're throwing Rudy Gobert there in the conversation, but that's a Defensive Player of the Year top candidate. I think he should finally win it.
Yeah, get Rudy Gobert out of my
face.
Yeah,
that's the thing without
award. Get that guy out of here.
Without award, though, like, three people could win it, like, every single year. They'll just, like, give it to someone else. So give it to Marcus this year. Do yourself a favor. He finally got away from, you know, chucking up, like, a million threes a game and started understanding his role a lot more, which is to be a facilitator and to really make his presence known on defense, which he does on a night-in-night-out basis. But don't have me, you know, not forgetting about his defense with, you know, poor shooting. And he's a real selective guy now. It's been great to see.
Oh, it's been great. I mean, how many times during, like, the past couple years have you said, what the fuck are you doing, Marcus? Like,
yeah.
And it's just he dinks at three with 20 seconds left on the shot clock.
So we're forgetting about Cleveland here. Cleveland's playing Brooklyn in the first round. The city of Cleveland in general, I have no faith in. They've been a great story this year. But I think Cleveland is actually going to be the first team to go through this. This is my prediction. I think they're going to lose the playing game to the Nets. And then they're going to lose to the Hawks or the Hornets. They're just going to get completely shunned out. That's my prediction.
That's something that should happen to that. How does this go?
So, okay. So the 7 through 10 seeds get in the playoffs. So the Brooklyn and Nets and Cleveland Cavs, 7 seed versus 8 seed. The loser of that game will play the winner of the 9 versus 10.
I thought if you lose these games, like, that's your playoffs.
No, so like, if Brooklyn or the Cavs lose, they get one more game,
oh,
which is the 8th place game. So they're playing in the 7th place game.
And then is it a series or it's
No, it's a one game.
Oh, okay.
So then, like,
so it could be Cavs versus Cavs lose, and then they maybe play.
And then they play Atlanta.
The Hawks.
Atlanta, yeah. Or Hornets, and the winner of that game will play the Heat in the first round of the 8th seed.
Trae Young.
Bottom line, I think both the Hawk and Hornets teams are pretty good. But if you really think about it as well, and it's I don't want to, like, compare it to baseball, because baseball is so much different in terms of if you get that one picture, anyone can win.
Oh, yeah.
But these are any given Sunday games. Like, I'm talking smack about the Cleveland Cavaliers right now, but they could, like, mess around and beat Brooklyn tomorrow night.
One game is an anything can happen kind of mentality.
Yeah, exactly.
Same thing with this Nets series. I know I am afraid of them for sure, mainly just because Williams is out. If we have him in a 7-game series, I'm not as worried, but
yeah,
we'll see how much of a fucking factor that
but
is.
But I'm already ready to step out on that, you know, flag there and be like, oh, the first round series is the Boston Celtics against the Brooklyn Nets. I'm ready to start the playoff preview. So
yeah.
I'm going to get it going around. Steele, what's your prediction for that series? It's going to be a hard fought series unless Cleveland spoils it. They don't spoil anything.
No,
besides losing.
Having faith in that. No, get Cleveland out of my face. Nets, I think even with Rob Williams, I think we'd win handedly. I think it would not even be, like, I think, because that's, like, one of the worst defensive basketball teams in the history of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do not fear that team at all. It's going to be Tatum versus Kevin Durant. That last game we played against the Nets was unbelievable. It was, like, I think Tatum had, like, 50.
That was the best game I've ever seen Jason Tatum play. No question about it.
And,
nobody fans or butts.
Big time, and if him and Jaylen Brown just do their thing, play some solid defense. And you can't really stop Kevin Durant. Kyrie's probably more of an X factor because KD's just going to do his thing.
Yeah, so that's when Marcus Smart kind of comes up big, because he'll be playing man-on-man with Kyrie Irving there. You got a prediction?
Celtics in six.
See, I'm Homer, and I just think of Kyrie stepping on the court and, you know, all this motivation for the Celtics team. And for me, I think the Celtics beating Brooklyn Nets in the first round and then losing in the second, I think that would be a win for this team. I think beating the Brooklyn Nets in a playoff series. Well, they have everyone healthy. They could have Ben Simmons back, even though that guy's the biggest loser I probably know on the face
of the planet. We should probably want him back, to be honest. He'll fuck something up.
Unfortunately, you're not going to like my prediction because it ends bad for this team. The Celtics have played so well during the – but I said it on last week's episode. You do not want to run into this team in the first round. It seemed like they had it for a second. They seemed like it was going to be the perfect Milwaukee-Brooklyn matchup. But when it comes down to it, man, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, show me things in the playoffs that, you know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown just haven't done yet. And I really hope Tatum and Brown end up doing it, end up, you know, shutting me up and shutting everyone in the league up, saying that they can't do it. Because I'm telling them right now, I'm calling them out, they got to show up for this series or they're not going to win. I'm going to take Brooklyn in six. I think the Celtics have a great chance to stir it here.
I like this. I actually like this from Naz because he's the biggest homer around.
I'm just trying to be truthful.
I like this.
This is a team I did not want to run into, and you're going to get them. And this is a team who's hungry, who's kind of been being bashed all season. They're 44-38. They're pretty much 500, like 90% of the way through the season. They haven't had any of their guys healthy. Now they have them healthy. This is the time where they shine, and unfortunately for the Celtics, they just got a tough draw. And like we just said, the Dahi and Orla there, that they ran the tough teams in the Mass High School playoffs. And the Celtics are
running, a little bit different, but
they're running not, but they're running to a freight train in the Nets. And yeah, I think.
I don't know if I'd call the Nets a freight train.
I just don't think the Nets are the team you think they are. I just don't see it. I don't think it is. You're seeing names and just.
I look at it.
They also could be like putting us in a nice spider's web, and yeah, it could be fucking Nets in four for all.
I look at history in this.
I'll go Nets in four. Fuck it. Nets in five. I'm baffled. I really am baffled by this series. They should have lost that game last night. Why were they? The Celtics, shouldn't they have lost?
If they lost, they would have dropped the four, actually. Then they would have played Toronto, and they would have Jaylen Brown would have been. I would have rather that. I would have rather that.
No, I wouldn't rather
that. I would have rather that.
I'd rather, like, get this hyphy. I mean, I want to see Kyrie, like, maybe get killed at the Garden. That's enough to look
playoff
forward
Garden?
To.
Let's go.
No. As a fan, this was the series.
I would not have wanted to see Jaylen Brown be like, I have to go get a vax to, like, play in a playoff series. Because, I mean, he's an important factor, for sure.
Like,
and that would have been a tough – that's a shitty storyline.
Yeah, the Sixers are – I think Thibault, the three-point shooter, he can't play in Toronto.
Yeah.
Because they're playing them. But, no, as a fan, this is the –
he's not exactly a Jaylen Brown, but
definitely not. I agree. But as a fan, this is the series you want. This is like, oh, my God, this is it. This is what it's worked up to since Kyrie Irving left the Celtics a couple years back.
And where you at the upper hand. Usually it would be like them as a two seed and us as a seven.
That's what I mean. Don't throw the seeds out the window.
The seeds are. I agree.
Besides getting four home games, the seeds are completely out the window. And
those home games will come be a factor.
But I will, to Steele's point as well, Steele, like cutting the sec, but the Brooklyn Nets defense has been atrocious these last 20 games. And that's something I'd also really look at. So to my point exactly is Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are going to have to come out an absolutely ball. And when they get double teamed, when they kind of covering both of them, these guys like Peyton Pritchard, even Grant Williams getting out there, they're going to have to hit some shots. Because if you don't have guys working with them like they've been working the last 20, 30 games, that's why they've been piecing up these teams.
Oh, yeah, annihilating them.
Because, the top two of that, they've been the catalyst. No question about that at all. But when you're telling me about team they're probably the most well-rounded team in basketball right now if they all play to their potential. If they all play to their strengths.
Is there a big man issue on fucking the Nets? I know they got Drummond.
Drummond's kind of...
Is he even that good?
No, he's not good, but he'll shine against the Celtics because the Celtics don't... Yeah. That's a weakness.
He's just bigger. And like they're going to have trouble with him a little
bit. Yeah, I think some guys to look out for in that series that could really get you is who... Who's the guard who used to play for the Spurs?
Patty Mills.
Patty Mills could be an X factor.
We'll probably hate Patty Mills in like a week and a half.
And Seth Curry. I'm trying to think of other guys on that team. Blake Griffin doesn't get any minutes for that team anymore. I hope it's
just a straight up. Let's see who the better duo is. Yeah. Kyrie, KD, or Jaylen and Jason.
Before we spin it to baseball, who do you got? Who do you got in the? Well, we'll start right now. The championship. Who's coming out of the East? And who's come out of the West completely unbiased?
It just It's probably going to be the Bucks in the Eastern Conference. I mean, the Bucks are just, that's just the reality of that. The West is a little tougher. I would like to see the Phoenix Suns get back in there, but see, I don't know. I don't know if I still it's hard to trust them fully.
Yeah, I see a rematch coming. I think it's going to be Phoenix, Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. But the team I think to really look out for is the Golden State Warriors, because they've kind of played pretty bad, you know, at the last 20 games ago, because Steph Curry wasn't healthy, thanks to Marcus Smart. Klay Thompson just come back off injury. Draymond Green's been hurt. But they've won 5 in a row heading into the playoffs. They're the 3 seed. They're going to take on Denver in the first round. They're going to run, I mean, if they get by the first round, they're going to run into the Memphis Grizzlies, which has been the complete dark horse of the whole year.
I would love to see them in action.
I would love to see them in the championship, but my dark horse, because everyone's talking about Memphis, is not enough people are talking about the Golden State Warriors. I think there's a great chance they could get to the final. But I also think the Phoenix Suns are my pick to win the whole thing. But I think the Warriors could definitely be that surprise team that no one's looking at. You have any?
I mean, the Warriors, I think people are looking at the Warriors, dude.
Yeah.
They're the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, like, and I think the dark
class of the time.
Yeah, the dark horse of the Eastern Conference has to be the Celtics.
Oh yeah,
it has to be.
I think
they're the dark horse.
I'm riding them. I'm riding with Jimmy and that milk bet. I got them going. I'm making it.
You just said Brooklyn and 5.
That was a joke. That was a joke. I got to stay on the wagon. Ever since I got on the wagon, they've been fucking hot. I'm not going to hop off now. I'm not worried about anyone. I've been watching these games lately. I don't know if like other teams are tanking these games too. Like, what's up with the Grizzlies? Did they have people sitting last night?
Yeah, they tanked the hell out of that game.
Okay.
Milwaukee tanked the hell out of their game last night, so they would be playing. So Milwaukee made out like bandits. So they're playing Chicago, who's been on a horrible tear in their last 10 games. I said this last week. That's the dream scenario you want. You want to be the 3 seed. You want to play Chicago in the first round, and then I guess they're, no matter what, you're going to play a good team in the second round.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the Celtics, you know, their work comes in early and comes in hot. Where hopefully, look at this. Look at this episode probably come out Wednesday and Thursday. Cleveland wins. Then all this is irrelevant.
Hopefully.
But
That would be beautiful.
I'd be all for that. That'd be great. I don't think.
I'm down to face fucking Cleveland.
No, I'm so down to face.
Go to war with Cleveland any day.
Give me Cleveland, but I just don't think it's going to happen. I'd love to see it, and I'm not. At this point, you can't be afraid to face Brooklyn because it's inevitable. It's probably going to happen. And I think we need to get back in the arena. I think for a Kyrie Irving game, I think the boys got to sack up, get some Celtics tickets.
And I don't hate the sound of that. Tarps off, balcony.
See you there. See you there.
Tarps off.
No, Anton. He'll get us kicked out.
Fair.
Yeah.
But no, Anton's got to be there. Anton's got to be there.
So you got the Celtics win the ship, Magic?
Not the ship, but get into the ship. I got them versus. Give me the Mavs.
Sedona? Mavs?
Give me the Mavs.
Luka. Gross.
Let's just get weird. They're a good dark horse, no?
The Western Conference does look pretty weird because it is. It's like the Suns, the Grizzlies, Golden State.
Yeah, you know what? Too, different the Western stuff. Conference. The Western Conference is usually loaded, but the Eastern Conference is like way more loaded this year than the Western Conference.
It's pretty even. No.
I don't know.
No.
I think the top 4 teams in the West, I think the top 3 teams in the West, I if Kern's listening to this, I'm sorry, man. I don't think Dallas has a chance to make the final. I think there's only 3 teams that have a chance to make the final out of the West. I think it could be probably 5-6 teams in the Eastern Conference that could make the final.
But you're not you're just judging that off the fact that it's like a shit fuck over here. On the East.
Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
Well, the Heat are...
You're not saying there's 5 or 6 teams worthy of the final.
Making the final, I think, absolutely. I think the Heat have had a great season. The Celtics are a dark horse team. Milwaukee's the defending champions. Philly should have the MVP. If he doesn't win the MVP, that's a travesty, and Joel Embiid not winning.
Nah, that'd be sick.
I like him. And then, Toronto doesn't chance Chicago. So I'll cut to 5 because Brooklyn.
It's time for me to tune in. I'm tuning in. It's playoff time.
Yeah. Log on.
Could
let's go.
Get there.
See you at the wall.
See you at the parade.
Yeah, let's go.
So what do we see it?
Yeah, this is going to be. When does this start up?
Sunday.
It starts actually Tuesday is the play-in game tomorrow.
Beautiful.
But Celtics' first game is Sunday.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Let's go.
We're going to transition now into the first weekend of the MLB season, in particular, Steelers, Yankees taking 2 out of 3 from the
Boston Red Sox. Boys are back.
First takeaway from the whole series, Garrett Cole's a complete bitch.
I think you have to agree with me.
I just, he was complaining about the...
The 4 minute thing was dumb as shit. I'm aware.
He was complaining about 4 minutes of why he got pieced up in the first inning.
That's weakness still. That's not a Cy Young kind of thing.
If Voldy said that after the game, I would have been out on that guy.
Fact.
So, takeaways, I'll start Brownie and the Yankees a little bit. Anthony Rizzo looked like probably the Yankees' best player in that series. He was incredible. Feel like every time they needed a hit, he came up big. Giancarlo Stanton, obviously a wagon. The Yankees are here offensively this year. We'll see how their pitching holds up. But it seemed like they were, you know, getting big-time hits at the end of the games, which had them come back from Friday night, which had them come back from Saturday night. I thought they were going to do it again last night, but...
Close.
My guy, they were calling him Deekman. He killed it last night.
Yeah, that sucked. But one of them, the second game was definitely my favorite of the weekend because, like, I very rarely get W's due to, like, Alex Cora fucking up. And he fucked up. Kept Pivetta in there, and Giancarlo Stanton took him to the moon. And that's literally how they won.
That guy hits the bloody piss out of the ball. It's crazy.
His first home run in the first game was the funniest, like, Yankee Stadium home run I've ever seen. I think it went, like, 10 feet off the ground.
I missed it. He had pop on it, like, but it was just, like, very low.
Yeah, I think it went front row, right field, Yankee Stadium. Short porch.
Yeah. Is Joey Gallo a loser?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he's
a loser. I would put Brett Gardner back out.
And I saw like, some Yankees article, too, that, like, everyone's already sick of Aaron Hicks's bullshit.
Yeah, him too. He's been there too long. Yeah. It's just being mediocre, not that good.
For the Red Sox, Kiki Hernandez still hasn't gotten a hit yet.
Loser.
But he made a sick play last night while he was on the microphone with the commentator booth. So that was like big team morale points.
What do you mean? He was talking while he was playing?
Yeah, he had a mic.
Yeah, the inning type thing.
It was a Judge hit a deep one to center field. And he made like a jump up catch right near the wall, and he was mic'd in.
So I thought
that was pretty badass. I really like what I saw out of the starting pitching. Nathan Eovaldi pitched really well. I think Pivetta was good. They just left him in too long. I thought he pitched really well. And then I think Tanner Houck only went like 3 and some change, but seemed like he was doing his thing out there. Hey, the ball just gets away from him too much. He needs to figure it out. Yeah, I think he hit another person last night. He's going to kill somebody.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that slider is just like too ridiculous. Yeah. Just like reel it in, dude.
Verdugo with a nice yah-yah Saturday. That was a bomb.
That guy's the worst.
My favorite player right there. Bobby D, big game-winning homer last night. It's going to be nice. We'll see if his... Because I think the first game, I watched his first 2 at-bats, and he didn't even come close to even touching the ball. So it was good to see him bounce back last night and get it done. It's only a matter of time before Tristan Casas comes up and takes his position. But until then, Jackie Bradley, no hits. I predicted opening day that he was going to have 3 strikeouts and 1 home run. I think he struck out 4 times.
Yikes.
Yeah,
could be me tonight at softball.
That guy's miserable, dude. Like, I don't know why in the hell you brought that guy back.
We talk about it every week. I just can't. That trade is just, I don't even know the word to use anymore. I've used too many.
One thing that was great for me this weekend with that, too, was DJ LeMahieu tying it up, taking Garrett Whitlock deep. Because they were basically just, like, sucking that guy off on the broadcast.
Oh, opening day, right?
Yeah. Can't be touched, this, Garrett Whitlock, and then DJ LeMahieu just took him deep.
That was another, like, Little League field homer, right? Not even, like, ripping it, but, like, that, like, that's what happened.
Your field's a Little League field, too.
No, that right field is nuts.
This is tough. This is tough to listen to. I don't know what's going on here. The battle. I don't know.
The dimensions. We're talking about dimensions.
The stadium that they play in, like, when they're
there. I know.
They can hit it over the short porch, too, you know?
I know.
Apparently, they don't. I don't get it. It makes no sense that they argue about that. It went out of the park.
It's a Little League field. You want to go? Let's go up to Corey D after this. Hit a couple pop-ups. They'll be going out of Yankee Stadium.
So are you more convinced on the Yankees after this week?
Oh, no, I mean, like, dude, it's the first.
Yeah,
I
know. Yeah, it doesn't
matter. We just went out for a cup of coffee, pal. Like trying to
baseball sucks. I'm boycotting baseball this season.
I got chirped for the Gerrit Cole home run by a couple people, and I was like, dude, it's literally like there's like two batters into the fucking season. It's like, I don't even care.
The game's so fucking long. It's just a long outing of a day to watch all that.
Yeah, they were talking about so the pitchers have like a sensor now of like how long they have pitched, and I guess now they're blaming the hitters for how long it takes. It's just never ending. It's a sport that just, it's going to be long no matter what. So if you don't like it, just like leave. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, that's absolutely it. Like a lot of people, like, yeah, like when someone's like, oh, the games like take too long. It's like, dude, like I like watching baseball.
Oh, yeah. I don't give a shit. If you like it, I got no power to you.
Yeah.
I love baseball, but I'm kind of with the audience of like, I can only watch, unless it's like a big game, Red Sox, Yankees, I can watch. But if, like, I don't know, if Sox are playing, like, the Tigers tonight, I'll watch, like, a couple innings, you know, see if what Rafael Devers does. But after that, I'm kind of just, like...
Like, if I make it to age 60 or 70, maybe then I'll tune in and be like, this is my life now. Like, 12-pack or 30-pack of the Budweisers.
Yeah, right.
And baseball.
Betting on everything.
Sure, why not? If I have money and my health, I'll be a baseball guy at 70, because that seems like the right age to get involved in it.
I can see you more as a country
club. I'm a softball guy. No, fuck that. I'm definitely not going to watch golf. I didn't watch a minute of the fucking Masters. We want to talk about that at all? Who's the guy who won? Don't even know him. Don't care.
Scotty Scheffler.
Scotty what?
Scotty Scheffler.
No offense to the scrambled, but who the hell is this guy?
That's a great golf name, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's a golf name.
Were you really going to give a hundo away to a retweeter?
Oh, if Sanjay won? Yeah, absolutely.
How much were you going to win if he won?
Like... $2,500.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, that's just...
That's generous. Give back to the people.
Yeah, we're part of the people. Part of the people.
Part of the people. Yeah, so we finished baseball there. Just a little touch on the Masters, too. Tiger made the cut. Great win. And then he just, like, completely dropped the ball. Like, he finished that one over to make the cut. Like, the cut was, like, plus four. And then he finished, like, plus 15. He just got, like... It was just good enough to see him out there, you know, but he just didn't have it. And that's a tough course, man, if you're not ready. I'm sure he knows more than anyone. But
he has won there once or twice.
Yeah, my boy Sanjay, big shout out to Sanjay M, really, you know, kept me focused at least all 4 days. He was the leader after the first day. I'm like, all right, let's not talk it up too much. Plus 5,500 dog. Ended up going down a little bit. The winner ended up, Scotty Scheffler, you know, went away.
Yeah, he was up, like, all weekend, wasn't he?
The crazy part, which I guess we'll get into golf a little bit, Scotty Scheffler was at minus 12 going into, like, the, 18. He hits it on the green, and he's, like, 5 strokes above Rory McIlroy, who's, like, minus 7. And then he missed, like, two or three gimme putts in a row. So he finished at, like, minus 9 or 10, which you never see. So he was going for like the ultimate choke. Like if he was only up by like 2 strokes, he would have just blew it.
Oh yeah. Oh dude, I would be like horrified to have like a 1 stroke lead going into Sunday golf. My God. That would be terrifying. Like being on the leaderboard, like up one, because golf is such like.
I don't want any part of
it. You
that.
Can crumble so quickly in that, and it's just like I don't.
No one to blame but you.
Yeah, yeah. Like you just fucked it all up.
Same as the UFC, I guess.
Yeah, I played a private private course this weekend with intern Andrew. Big plug did for intern Andrew. He actually played great.
He's still with us?
He's still with us.
What's he do?
Oh, he's chilling. He's on the hunt. That was a crazy course, too. Big shout out to Thorny Leaf there. All right, we'll dive right into the UFC 273. Do you saw it?
I watched bits and pieces at the Irish pub. Shout out to the pub.
Naturally. Yep, naturally. The big takeaway from the fights, and it wasn't even for me, there was a big upset in the last three of the fights, but the big takeaway for me was that Gilbert Burns is a really bad man. Because Khamzat Chimaev, you know, came in there, I don't even think, like, going out of the first round against anyone. Finally, his biggest test there. I think he was 11th contender in their division against Gilbert Burns. Yep. He's the number two. And it seemed like early on that Burns was going to get knocked out. Held us up. Definitely the fight of the year so far. It was good to see. I knew Burns lost. But it was definitely 2-1.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, definitely. 100%.
He got around. And, you know, there was only a couple times where I was like, wow, he's kind of like getting beat up. But at the end of the day, Khamzat's here, and I don't think he's untouchable. I think that, you know, you look at guys that he's starting to be compared to, like Khabib. Khabib was never in a fight like that ever in his career, right?
No, not really.
Not really. So that was Khamzat's like first coming out party, and it was way more of a challenge than anyone anticipated. And for that, I big shout out to Burns.
We'll get with Burns, yeah.
That guy is Khabib's cousin, yes?
I don't believe so.
I don't believe so, no.
They're just kind of the same area. They fucking might be.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. But he's being compared to Khabib, or why'd you just say that?
Because he's got a quick come up. He's like 11-0.
I got you.
He's like... Not every day does the 11th contender in a weight class fight the number two.
I got you.
So he got a big step up there, and he was a favorite by $1 billion.
And he deserved the favorite part, like everything involving Gilbert Burns is kind of nuts. Almost like an overhype kind of, but he earned being the 11 that fought a two. I mean, dude, his first four UFC fights, one significant strike landed on him in four fights. Like one. That was it.
That's wild.
Just insane stuff. So that's what gets you there. And Gilbert Burns, and it was crazy too, because Gilbert Burns like is an incredibly scary, incredibly strong man.
Yeah.
And he like couldn't take Khamzat down like when he tried. And it was like, it was just not seeing him like not be unable to do that. But that's why he had to stand up and slug it out. And I mean, they both were just like bleeding and just an absolute war. That fight was awesome.
Oh, it was great stuff. And then the upset of the night, do you have anything to add to that? Think you will see it?
I saw Burns bleeding for a little bit. I mean, I was in and out watching.
You get the salt and vinegar chips at the pump?
No.
Showtime
thing.
Oh, he's got Colby. It'll be a hell of a fight, though.
You think he'll beat Colby?
I think he'll beat Colby. I think that...
Is Colby the one in this weight class?
Yeah, he'll fight Colby next. That's going to be more of an electric fight.
Then it's Usman.
I'm really interested to see. Out of the gate, I got Khamzat beating him. But it's going to be very close. And it will be, I think it's way more of a challenge than Gilbert Burns, which says that Colby's got a great chance in this fight.
I just can't wait for it because that's going to be one of the most, like, electric hype up. The shit talking between Khamzat and Colby is going to be incredible.
They're both very good at that.
It's going to be awesome. Like, when he ran into Gilbert Burns, like, backstage, they were just kind of like, hey, what's up, man? We'll smash you. Like, him and Colby will go off.
Yeah. And then, the upset of the night, Aljamain Sterling, who was like a +330 dog, fought, I guess...
Jan?
Yeah, Peter Jan. Who was like the champion, but, you know, because of the technicalities before.
Being a dickhead.
Yeah. But
being a guy in the head.
Yeah, but Sterling came in and took it, like, with his submission moves. He had him on the ground scared the entire time. I thought it was... So my first take was that Dana White kid said, oh, they scored it wrong. I thought Jan won. And that's that guy just trying to make more money because he wants a Jan Sterling 3.
Naturally.
And Sterling won. I watched that from beginning to end. He won that fight, no doubt. It was a split decision. It was a close fight, don't get me wrong. Peter Jan got a lot of shots when they were up. But I think the ground and pound, like, takedown of Aljamain Sterling there really got
The second round. You could have made it a 10-8 round because he was literally just in a triangle lock the entire time.
Like and he wasn't, yeah, and he wasn't just trying to tap it out. Like, he was kicking his ass. Like, he was going up and down there. The main event, I left to go get Uber Eats because I knew this was going to be over in four rounds. Not four rounds. Well, that's what happened.
Shocking it got that
far. Yeah, the Korean Zombie, great story if you don't know much about the Korean Zombie. He had a great reign, and then he's from South Korea, so they're like, you have to do mandatory 2 years of military, so he just hopped into military, came back out, and was even better in the UFC. He's been up and down, gets a title chance against Alexander Volkanovski, who's beaten Max Holloway twice. He's a bad man. I just thought, as good as a story as the Korean Zombie has, that it was ending that night. It ended the fourth round in punches. Steel, you saw it probably beginning to end. What'd you think about that fight?
That one, there wasn't a prayer. Yeah. The other one you could, like... throw some money on Gilbert Burns or throw some money on Aljamain. That makes sense. Risk. See what happens. Volkanovski was 10 billion percent going to kick the shit out of that guy. And that is exactly what happened. Like, I mean, like when it got stopped, like, the Korean Zombie was still standing. And just getting punched repeatedly like this. And Herb Dean was just like, dude, like, fuck this. Like, stop it. And it just ended right there. Kind of was shocking. And it was kind of like, dude, like, if you're stopping it right now, why didn't you stop it like two rounds ago, dude?
Yeah.
Like, nothing changed.
my last takeaway from the night was I was, you know, going back and forth. I'm taking, so I didn't know any of these guys, Vince Pichel against Marco Madsen. I took Pichel. I saw the face test. Pichel, probably the best mustache in UFC.
Yeah, that thing was intense.
He lost unanimous decision, but I said to Steele, I'm like, if I would have known he was going to lose, I probably would have bet him again just because of the mustache.
What the stash look like?
Oh, it was just great.
It curly. Was it a curly Q one?
Like right. it was big. It was nice. Intense.
So that was my great.
What's his name?
Vince with a C, no E, Pichel.
I probably mispronounced it. And that name's just like, yeah, that name's ridiculous.
Yeah, you're not going to do it. So what do we got going on this weekend, fellas? Anything good?
Going to Nashville.
Going to Nashville, going that is right. Nashville. Be there this weekend. Hattie B's going to have... I'm going to do a Hattie B's review.
Might as well.
Do a Hattie B's what review. Is Hattie B's?
Best chicken on the planet.
Best chicken on the planet. I'll get, you know, we'll get the...
Great mustache on this guy. Jesus.
Yeah, it's great stuff. What else we got going? Anything good? We'll get the marathon on Monday. Yeah, that guy's a beast. Tank.
Marathon's on Monday?
Yep. Big shout out to James Naz. He's actually texting me right now trying to call him. I don't know what he wants.
Probably to get a little quick shine on the pod.
I'm giving him a big shout out here. Best of luck to him on Monday. It's going to be a grind. He's going to get after it. It's going to be good stuff.
Long day.
Also wanted to mention, we mentioned on the last podcast, from the Fitzpatrick family. I think they're having their fundraiser for Emily Ann this weekend, who, you know, went through a tough COVID battle over the winter, and they're trying to, you know, support money for her. That's going down. I think it's at the Freeport, yacht club?
VFW?
Yeah, something like that. VFW in Dorchester.
Yeah.
It's on Facebook. Look it up. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Support a great cause.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anything else before we wrap it up?
You gonna go to like a Predators game while you're in Nashville?
Predators Blues. Putting the house on the Blues. Let's ride, Tori Krug.
You gonna ride one of those bike things around where like
pedal bar? That could be.
You know the pedal? Yeah, the pedal bar.
I think so. Maybe
strippers, or strip club. Can't say that really. Sorry. I wonder how the Nashville strip clubs are. Now that got me myself curious.
Well, I've been there twice. I've never been there. I've never been to. Never did that.
Well, I hope you guys really let it rip there. I want videos. I want content.
We'll get content.
Get Paluzzi on the scene. I want Paluzzi to take videos. He loves doing that for whatever reason. Yeah. Is he? He'll be there? Good.
He'll be there.
I'm going to text him and tell him.
It's a wrecking crew, dude. It's going to be an intense weekend.
Folks, want to thank you for tuning in, as well as Dahi Quinn and Earl McGormley for coming on. And Hedgebetter for making this all possible. Justin, have fun wherever you are. He's on vacation this week.
Punta Cana, Dominican.
Dominicana. There we go.
Wish I was there.
Yeah, right.
Showtime or no show, really never know. Who knows where Anton is right now. So big shout out to Slight Edge Fitness Performance, everything you do. Appreciate that, Craig. Yeah, get there. That James Naz is supporting the Slight Edge Fitness Performance look. He's going to be running with the Slight Edge Fitness and Performance shirt.
Love that.
And, you know, another big shout out to the law offices of Patrick J. Foley. Such a great kid.
Good video he put out today about his business. He was on here talking about it last week. Came in up in a big way for me. And we can talk more about that after April 28th.
That's all from Steel and Naz. Be safe out there. Record on a Monday, so have a great week out there, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.